Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 21st of February 2021. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we had some technical problems near the start of the service, but I hope that won't spoil your listening. Richard spoke on Noah and the reading was Genesis 7. So we'll go and join Richard as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service here from Minehead Baptist Church. On this Sunday morning, it's lovely to be able to welcome you as you join us either online via CD or indeed via the podcast online. Who knew there were so many different options? My name's Rich and I'm one of the ministers here. And let's... the notices, that's the one. The notices are as the notice sheet... with a couple of additions to let you know. I've been asked to let you know, some of you may remember Violet Jones, who last worshipped here at Minehead Baptist Church some time ago. Violet has sadly recently died and gone to be with her Lord. So please pray for her family that at this time they might share and know. They might know at this time of grief, the Lord will surround them with his love and care. And then as well this evening at 6 o'clock, we have worship from home, I think we're calling it. So join us online at 6 as we join in with Sue for a time of worship. And then tomorrow morning at 10:15, we have our Zoom prayer meeting. Details are on the notice sheet and should be sent out as well later this afternoon. And if you've not heard anything by tomorrow morning, please get in touch. But let's pray as we come to worship our Lord. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have again to worship you. We come to praise your name, to lift you up. And we pray, Lord, that as we focus on you this morning, that you would speak into our lives, that you would speak to us. Father, we want to worship you and focus our eyes upon you. And we pray that you would equip us and encourage us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start our worship, or our song worship this morning, as we join Roy and Jenny as they sing, "Who Holds the Heavens in His Hands."
Who holds the heavens in his hands? Who made the stars by the word of his power?
Here we go. Yes, mic's on. We have got technical issues, but don't worry. We're a professional outfit here. Okay, we've been able to come straight down onto the next scene. All right, they put me in a chair. I think that's to do with my age. Okay, we're going to do the children's talk now. Okay, so don't get too confused. You've not missed prayers. We've not had the service while you've been away. Okay, we're going to do the children's talk, and then we're going to come and do prayers, and we'll go off and do our Zoom fire starters. Okay, this morning we're going to be talking about Noah. Okay, does anyone know anything about Noah? He was old. He was old. He was old. He lived to 930, I think. I think that's the age I got in my Bible in a year. 930. I hope I don't live that long. Anything else about Noah? He did build a big boat. Well done. And he was in the rain, right? What about the animals? Anyone say animals? He collected loads and loads of animals. And you know what was really good about Noah? Is that he was really close to God. And God made him a promise. But that's right at the end of the story. Well, that bit of the story we're going to do. Does anyone else make promises? You make promises, do you? You make promises. Who makes promises to clean their bedroom? Who makes promises to do the washing up after they've watched their TV show? Who keeps their promises? And there's a few nodding heads and there's a few parents going like this. Okay? We all make promises. Some of us keep them. And as you know, it's good to keep promises. And God keeps his promise. There was a man named Noah. And God gave Noah a really big task. He gave him a task to build a boat. Has anyone ever built a boat? No, I'm not getting anyone saying to build a boat. Okay. Oh, Lorraine's built a boat. Well done, Lorraine. Did it sink? A scenery boat. Who's built an Airfix model? See, I've built Airfix models. And did you get any instructions? Okay, well, just have a look at this. I'm going to put the microphone down and show you some of the instructions that Noah might have had to build his boat. Hang on a minute.
Okay, so you might be able to see those. Okay.
So those are plans to build an ark. Oh, we froze. You want me to do it all again? Oh, it's going to cost you double this week, Pauline, if I've got to do it twice. Right, here we go. Okay, forget all that. Here we go. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. Hey, here we are. We're in. All right. No, there's been no technical issues. It's been perfect here. It must be your end where all the problems have been. Okay. Everything's been fine here, honestly. All right. Good morning. Right, we're going to talk about Noah. Some of you might got of some of this, some of you might not. Have you ever made a promise? Yes. What sort of promises have you made? Well done. Brian's pointing to his wedding ring. I've got a wedding ring. I made a promise 30-ish years ago. Yeah, 30-ish years ago. Sally made a promise. Okay. We promise to love each other, okay? I've kept that promise. But do you keep your promises? Have you promised to clean your bedroom? Did you do it? Have you promised to do the washing up after you've watched your TV show? Did you do it? We all make promises. And keeping promises are really important. Really important. But we sometimes break our promises. God doesn't break his promises. And today's story, today's Bible reading, is all about a man called Noah, and God made a promise. First of all, he got Noah to build an ark. Who's built a boat? Got Lorraine over there who's built a boat. It was a scenery boat. Who's built an Airfix boat? Oh, there's a few hands there, Airfix boats. What did you need to build your Airfix boat? Glue. Yep, I can just see that. Those little tubes of glue you get in those Airfix things, not going to build an ark, okay? Right. What else do you need? Because you get lots of pieces. Well done, that's right. You need instructions. Do you think Noah got instructions? Well, he did. In the Bible, God gave Noah lots of instructions. I don't think he set it out as a plan, but I think Noah might have drawn some plans. This is what I got off the internet. Look at the size of that boat. It was bigger than a football field. Can you imagine that? Bigger than a football field. So Noah built the boat, right? All his friends laughed at him, okay, because he wasn't by the seaside apparently, okay? And then the rains came down, and the rains fell and fell and fell, just like the water coming out of this jar. And the rains fell for 40 days and 40 nights. And they were locked up. Can you imagine how that feels when God put the seal on that boat and they were locked in there? But they were there for a lot longer than 40 days and 40 nights. It only rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but then the water was there. And then slowly the water came down. And all the time, Noah was close to God. And then it's finally the birds went out, came back, dry land, and Noah let everyone out. And God decided he was going to make a promise that he was never, ever going to wipe out mankind again. So he put a rainbow in the sky. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen quite a few rainbows this week because it's rained quite a lot. And when I see a rainbow, I always think of God's promises. God keeps his promises to us. And just as you can see that rainbow now, when you see a rainbow in the sky, just thank God for keeping his promises.
Good morning. My name's Paul. I'm one of the ministers here, along with Richard at Minehead Baptist Church. It's amazingly privileged to be able to add my welcome to Richard's to you this morning. Friends, I want to remind you of something before we pray. Whether you're young or you're old, whoever you are, we're all reading the Bible in a year, this 365-day Bible reading plan. And this morning, I want to encourage you. If you started that and you're into it by a week, I want to encourage you to keep on going, to keep on reading Scripture. If you've missed a day or even missed the whole week, I want to encourage you to keep on going, to keep reading Scripture. God does not have some sort of bat that he hits you over the head and says, because you've missed a day, don't bother reading the rest. In fact, if you've missed any, he wants to encourage you even the more. And I want to encourage you to start reading with us if you haven't been able to do so yet. And if there's anything you need to be able to do that, or if you'd like a copy of this plan, please let the office or Richard or me know. I want to encourage you to read with us, no matter how many times you've read the Bible all the way through before, or if you've never read the Bible before, read with us. Keep reading Scripture with us. And I want to encourage you, no matter how old or how young you are. Lastly, I want to encourage you to get in touch with Richard or myself with any questions, queries, thoughts you might have. We'll try our best, individually and collectively, to help you. Encouragement's been a big theme somehow throughout this week. Many people have been encouraging each other. There have been some wonderful stories of already how God has touched lives through this Bible reading plan. Encouraging each other and being an encouragement is important in this time. At this time when so much of our world seems to live for itself, being an encourager talks about how we help others. And so this morning, our prayers will be formed around that sense of encouragement. We're going to pray to God that the Lord would enable us to be an encourager to others. And then we'll pray for those that have recently been on our prayer chain, that they may be held by those, by the encouragement, rather, of those of us that are praying. So I invite you, friend, where you are, to pray with me. Lord, help me to be an encouragement to others in the same way that you have sent many little encouragements to me along the way. I acknowledge in my life that there have been times of weariness and times of fear and times when I felt ready to give up. But always it seems at the right time, even sometimes just in time, there was a short note or a simple call or a little token of your love for me, which you have sent often by means of the many people that you've lovingly placed in my life. Thank you also, Lord, that you are our God of encouragement and that we have your indwelling Holy Spirit to help and comfort in times of need. Teach me your way and your will, and always help me to heed the gentle promptings of the Spirit of comfort within my heart, so that I may not miss an opportunity to be a minister of your encouragement to others in times of need. O Lord, more and more I long to breathe you into my very being and be saturated with your love and grace, so that I may be equipped to breathe out your love and joy and help and support and encouragement to all with whom I come in contact with. Show me how I can best be an encouragement to others, and may life point others, and may my life point others to you and never to myself. My prayer, as I acknowledge you are an encouragement to me, is that I may be an encouragement to others, and I may decrease as you increase more and more in my life. Father, I come before you in prayer and adoration. Amen. I'm going to pray for those that have recently been up on our prayer chain. If you receive the prayer chain, even the electronic one or the verbal one, I encourage you to think of those folk that have been on there recently. Rather than name them, and obviously this is public and across the airways, I invite you to think on one or two of them that you know. And if you don't have our prayer chain, wherever you are, I encourage you to think of those folk you know that need our prayers at this time, that are lonely, cut off from society, bereft somehow from family. Those for whom the future seems to hold no hope. Bring them before the Lord in this short moment of quiet, so that we may add our amen to your amen as we bring them all in a moment before the Lord in prayer. Come, bring those you know, those who need your prayers, before your Lord. As, Lord, we have named individuals before you, I pray for the world. I pray for a world that seems, Lord, to begin to think that it has its solution to this pandemic. And I pray, Lord, that this world may rid itself of its self-reliance and may rely wholly on you, and acknowledge it is your way and your solution. Thank you for all you have already blessed us with during this time when COVID-19's been to the fore. And we trust you, Lord, and pray to you for all that is to come, and say unequivocally, in all that is to be, may you be glorified, your kingdom come, your honour sustained, and your name be raised, world without end. Amen. So, friends, before we join together in some more worship, we pray for fast starters. Their time of worship together is just about to start. Let's pray for our young people. Father, we thank you that we have this amazing group of young folk that join with us. Lord, they're an inspiration. They're an encouragement themselves. And we pray that this morning they would be encouraged by you, inspired by their leaders, to seek out you, to know more of you, to learn your ways. Lord, as they do so, may we understand the rich, amazing grace that you pour into their lives and through them pour into the life of this church. Bless them all, we pray, in the name of the one who is their Saviour and their Lord, In Jesus' name, amen. I think Mark's ready for you now, so go and have an amazing time at Fasteiters, we pray. If you're staying with us, we're going to sing a song that reminds us that we've started that period of Lent, 40 days and 40 nights. Thank you, Roy and Jenny. Just to say, Mark earlier on said the problem was at your end. Just to let you know, we are having, as you probably gather, one or two issues this morning. But God is good, and we still worship Him together. And hallelujah and amen to that fact. We're going to read a passage of Scripture, actually a chapter of Scripture from Genesis chapter 7. If you were following our Bible reading plan, you would have read this already once this week. It's the story of Noah, and more particularly, it's the story of how Noah comes to fill the ark. So, at this point, the ark's been built, if you see what I mean, and it's waiting for occupancy. You can find it in Genesis chapter 7. And the story of Noah from Genesis 7 is as follows. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on earth. And Noah and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the 2nd month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. they rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Praise be to God for the reading from his word. As Richard comes and speaks to us, let's pray for him. Father, we thank you for Richard. We thank you for the encouragement that he is to this church. And we pray encouragement over him, that you would open his ears to hear you, Lord, his voice to say what you would have us hear, and our ears to receive your word. And open our minds to respond, Lord. Touch him with the very word of God, so that the very word of God may inspire and send us forth. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder how good I am at obeying God's instructions. So I want to take as an example my calling to ministry. I would say it took me a good 4 or 5 years to even begin to accept that calling. Indeed, so much was I determined to go the other way that I was about this far away from joining the army, and that would have been a different career in of itself. And I'll leave you to decide whether you've done well or badly out of that career change. But then when you decide to obey God, it can seem that things just seem to start going right. Take, for instance, my moving to Minehead this a little over a year ago. I was clear and I knew clearly that this was where God was telling me to go. And yes, it's been a slightly more difficult year than we had imagined, a strange one in many ways. But still, it's worked out all for the good. To obey God, then, is key. And it's central to this story of Noah. This sense that Noah is obedient to God. In fact, indeed, it seems that he's the only one in his world that is. And we see this obedience most clearly in verse 5. When we see that Noah did all that God had commanded him. Not just a little bit, but all that God had commanded him. How often do we only do a little of what God commands? Or when we do go to do it, we do it half-heartedly and without any enthusiasm. I can't speak for you, of course, but I do know that certainly can be the case in my own life. That we see and hear God instruct us to do something, and our response is very much one of, oh, I'll go on then if I must. And it's not always the big things in life that God instructs us and guides us in. It can be the small everyday things as well. Many of you, I'm sure, will have felt that God has instructed you to do something. and it may take a while, or you may do it immediately. But we're called to obey God. But there are different instructions and commands that God can give us. We're instructed to worship God. But Noah here is given instructions to do something that at first may not seem like worship, that seem very different. Told to go and build a field, and build something, an ark, no less. But by Noah's very willingness to obey God, this is in itself an act of worship, as much as if Noah was worshipping in front of an altar. Noah could see that to worship God meant worshipping him in all parts of his life. And I think this is a message that we can take to heart as well. To worship God through the actions and our doings in everyday life. One of Jesus' last instructions to his disciples was to go forth and make disciples of all nations, of all the people in the nations. I say that's quite a strong instruction from God and Jesus. But if we are truly to carry out that instruction from him, then we can't stop at the doors of this church or whatever other suitable alternative you want to think of at the minute. It must go beyond this place. The worship of God must go beyond our church. It can't just be on a Sunday or your house group or something directly related to God, to church. We're called to worship God in all our lives. And we're called to obey him. So we obey God by worshipping him, both here in church and online, but also through our daily lives. Do we worship God in our daily lives? That's a question I'll leave you to ponder. Because only you can, and God can truly know the answer. One commentator describes the ark as, in essence, a prison. This does actually seem hard to dispute when you think about it. This cold, dark, boxed-in ship. Noah's locked in, sealed in by God. We read in that Noah was shut in by God, unable to do anything other than huddle down with his loved ones, his family, and pray that he would be safe. I can only begin to imagine the conditions. I don't know how many of you have ever been on ferry trips. I've got family in Northern Ireland, so I've spent a lot of time on ferries. And they make for an interesting ride. I remember travelling across to Northern Ireland with some friends from university. And it was about half an hour or an hour and a half into the journey when we went, "Where is my friend?" And it was quite a rough day. I was having a lovely time, it has to be said, but he had disappeared to the toilet and hadn't returned. And I'll leave the rest to your imagination. And on the odd chance you're watching this, sorry, Colin, for retelling this story. Yet I imagine that the ark could well have been worse than this. Because that was a relatively short ferry trip, a couple of hours, on a ship at the height of modernity, or more or less for a ferry. Yet Noah was stuffed into an ark with hundreds, if not thousands, of animals. And I don't even want to think about what the toilet arrangements were like on there for these hundreds or so day. These day and day and day went by. Yet there is a hope. Noah had a promise and a surety from God that he would be kept safe, that he would see the other side of this journey. Another commentator wrote, Noah takes on himself the pain and the darkness of the tomb in order to pass safely through the time of divine judgment. By his willing obedience to God, he becomes a saviour of those of his family who entrusted him in him and his God. I hope this is setting some recognition off in your brains, because this reminds us very strongly of the story of Jesus. He dies on the cross for us, and then he's taken to a tomb. This one, an actual tomb, and has a stone rolled in front of the door. And it takes a miraculous strength to remove that stone, no less. But then he comes out the other side and has saved us all, his family. During our leadership prayer meeting on Zoom on Friday, Mark was talking about the reading from our Bible in a year, from Job. Not too late to join in, by the way, as Paul's already said. And how this reading on Friday contained the first mention of Jesus that we've had. And I'm going to one-up him here and claim that Noah is a portent of things to come. And may be the first salvation narrative we see in Scripture. I'm sure someone's going to disagree with me and go even earlier there. But I'm making that claim. And let me know if you disagree with me. But this is the salvation that's come. The Lord of Lords has come. And Noah gives us some insight into what is to come. He's made it out of this ark. Noah is a story that often sits quite difficultly, I think, with us in the modern world. It can feel a bit depressing and quite harsh and unfair for us to see the whole world judged by God and then condemned to death by God while Noah and his family are allowed to survive. But it's not us doing the judging. It's God, the Creator, the King over all. He does fundamentally have the right to judge us. And just as here, it's not any work of Noah that saves him, so it is not any work of our own that saves us. It's only through Jesus and accepting in him into our lives that we are saved. For we see here that it was God that made the ark secure, not any human effort. Which may be a point of encouragement for any of us if we're ever asked to build an ark. I don't know about your building skills, but mine are not that great. In fact, you almost get the impression that if Noah had stuck a few trees together, that he would have been kept safe by God, made a nice little raft and balanced all the animals on. He'd have still been kept safe because he obeyed God and then was saved by God. If Noah had solely relied on his own skill, then he would not have survived. A warning for us today. If we seek to rely on ourselves to be saved, we're in for a rude awakening. And we'll find ourselves trapped outside this ark of salvation. We must seek God. For only through him lies our salvation, only through Jesus. God had a close relationship with Noah. By all indications, Noah had a close relationship with God. In verse 1 of this chapter, we read that God gives Noah personal instructions directly to him. And Noah obviously had a close enough relationship with God that he was willing to carry out these instructions, as bizarre as they may have seemed to the letter. Think of it like this. You're much more likely to listen to the instructions of one you love and know well than you are a random stranger on the streets. Relationship is important. And God cares. God cared enough about Noah to offer him a means of salvation. And the same is true of us. But then we read at the end of this chapter that everything is swept away. Everything that has breath is perished. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Noah was going to be coming off this ark to face a completely new world. A world completely different to the one he'd known. And this, in some ways, has put me in mind of this past year. So many of the structures and things we did have been swept away. Some put on pause, some stopped entirely. What does this say to us? Have we spent this time of this year reassessing what these things mean to us? What God has been saying to us? My challenge for you this week is to pray and think about what has God been saying to you about this church and your role within it. As we pray and seek the mind of God, what has he said to us? We as a leadership have been praying about this all year. But what makes it lovely in a Baptist church is it's not just up to us. We're all in this together as one family before God. And so if you do feel that God has been speaking to you, I know I would love to hear what they are. Get in touch, and I'm speaking for Paul, but I think I'm getting a nod, so I'll carry on. But he would also love, we'd both love to hear how you think God has been speaking to you this year. In this world that feels like it's been swept away, as we reimagine and rethink what church looks like, we want to know what you have been told. It may be that God has said, keep it the same. And that is just as valid as let's go and start a church on the top of North Hill. Not that I think that is a suggestion we've had. But no matter what, no matter where God leads us, we know that we are safe in his love. Safe in the love of Jesus, safe in the ark contained together as a family before God. We are united together as a church in that ark of salvation, made possible by Christ's death and resurrection. We're in this all together. And even as we may not always get on, we're still bound together by the love that Christ had for us. So seek the Lord this week and the coming weeks and months and years. And ask yourself, what is God saying to me? Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great love for us. We see here that you want to save us. You've made a way for us to be saved. Lord, equip us to hear from you. Speak to us, we pray. And give us the courage and boldness to obey you in all that we do. Amen. So we come to an end of our service this morning. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for putting up with our technical issues this morning. I think we've hunted down all the technical gremlins that have been attacking us this morning. Just a reminder to join us, please, on our Facebook page at 6 o'clock this evening as we worship together. And to join us for our Zoom prayer meeting tomorrow morning at 10:15. It'd be lovely if you're able to join us. So then, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Have a great week.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.